This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining me on the show right now to talk a little NFL. We're just a couple weeks away from the draft. We're just a week away from most teams getting back at it for the 2019 offseason. A few teams have started up already because they have new coaches. And there's some decent storylines going on in the NFL offseason right now. Joining me to talk about all that, covers the NFL for yahoosports.com, and you can get him on Twitter at Yahoo Schwab. Frank Schwab joining me right now on CBS Sports Radio. Frank, great to have you on the show. I guess first question out of the chute, what are your thoughts on this DeMarcus Lawrence extension with the Cowboys?
You know, it's one of those things where you got to pay to play. I get it. Like, you can't, you know, if you go into a grocery store and they tell you this item is $5, you can't just say, well, I'll give you $4. You got to give it to me. If that's what DeMarcus Lawrence wanted, that's what he was going to get. Okay, that's what the Cowboys had to pay or you know, risk losing him. That said, he's now in a very high echelon of player. We're talking J.J. Watt, Aaron Donald, Von Miller, Khalil Mack, those type of guys. I honestly don't think he's that kind of player. I think he's good. I think he's very, very good. I don't know if he's Defensive Player of the Year, future Hall of Famer, good. So, did the Cowboys overpay? Yeah, probably. But what are they going to do? Are they going to lose DeMarcus Lawrence? You know, so they kind of had to, you know, they went shopping for a Ferrari, and you got to pay Ferrari prices. So, in that sense, it is what it is. It's fine. But I just don't think he's going to live up to the full value of that contract necessarily. But hey, Cowboys could lose him, so they did what they had to do.
Yeah, how much? I mean, look. I know I'm just looking at the numbers, and it's a very, very favorable cap number for this year. I think it's only $11 million this year, but then it obviously blows up in the years after that because they've got all the bonus money pushed into the future years of the deal. Do you think there was any motivation to getting this extension done for cap reasons, or is the hay kind of in the barn cap-wise for the Cowboys right now?
Yeah, I mean, what are you going to use your cap money on now? Right. Unless you're going to make a run at, you know, Ndamukong Suh, but I don't think that's good. I mean, maybe, who knows? He's still out there. So, I mean, that's really the only big fish out there unless you really like Ziggy Ansah. It was kind of interesting that way in the way it was constructed because you look at the Cowboys, and I think the biggest question they have is, all right, you got two guys coming up for big extensions. Dak Prescott's going to get paid like a franchise quarterback, whether we think he should or not. He's going to. There's no doubt about this. And Ezekiel Ansah is going to get paid like that too. And those cap numbers are going to blow up. And all of a sudden, you get these big DeMarcus Lawrence numbers coming too. It's going to be really hard for them to field a deep competitive team. I don't know if, you know, maybe they just said, hey, our window's now, whatever. Let's just do it now and figure out the rest later. That's kind of been the Cowboys' MO for many, many years. But I don't think it's a favorable situation for them. Let's put it that way. There's going to be a lot of cap gymnastics that are going to have to go on with the Dallas Cowboys in the next few years.
Well, let me ask you, Frank, and I'm talking to Frank Schwab, yahoosports.com, covers the NFL. So DeMarcus Lawrence gets 5 years, $105 million, 65 guaranteed. I know that there's, you know, little caveats here and there, but that's, you know, for purposes of this conversation, just to make it easy, that's what it is.
Sure.
The Texans have Jadeveon Clowney on a franchise tag right now that he has not signed yet. It's the first tag, not the second, like Lawrence was about to head into. How does the Lawrence contract impact the Clowney situation for a long-term deal, if at all?
Yeah, and I think it helps Jadeveon Clowney because he's got to look at that deal and say, again, I like DeMarcus Lawrence, but he's not really Aaron Donald. He's not really J.J. Watt, in my mind. Prove me wrong, DeMarcus, but I think that now Clowney's people go look at that contract and say, well, let's compare our guy to his guy, and our guy's pretty similar. He might even be better in some ways. I don't know necessarily that Clowney is I don't know if he's Khalil Mack, but he's a good player. He's very good. He's probably under DeMarcus Lawrence here. So I think that's almost a starting point for them. If they want to do a long-term deal, it probably bumped up the price a little bit, and he's going to be in that range. So I don't think it hurt. Let's put it that way. This was a great deal for DeMarcus Lawrence. He got what he wanted. His agent did a heck of a job, and it will have a trickle-down effect. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, it might have driven the what Clowney's people want up, just because I do think Clowney's a better player than Lawrence. But man, Clowney and the Texans just seem to be so far apart right now.
Yeah, and you know what? That can happen. I mean, I was surprised at the timing of the Lawrence contract, because usually this stuff gets done right at the deadline. I think it's July 15th this year, and usually it gets done. You know, I remember the Dez Bryant thing. It was like days before that deadline came, it was Dez Bryant is never going to sign, and he's going to hold out, and this is the most acrimonious thing we've ever seen. And then the deadline day comes, and he's smiling with Jerry Jones and signing a big contract. So, you know how deadlines work. I mean, they don't have to sign right now. If you're Clowney and the Texans and you are far apart, that's fine. You still have 3 months to get this thing handled. Or, you know, I mean, I don't know. You know, Jadavion was fortunate as the first pick to make a lot of money in his career. He's not necessarily in a Le'Veon Bell situation where you almost have to play on that first tag, even if you don't want it. He could sit out if he wants to, but boy, that's a lot of money for Clowney to pass up if he does. If he does want to, you know, hold out and make a stand, I think he ends up playing on it. And they, you know, if they don't get that long term deal done by July,
yeah, and I'm in Houston, and I think most people would be shocked if he didn't play. I think people think he's going to play. It's just a question of when he's going to come in. So we'll see how that plays out. Frank Schwab from Yahoo joining me on CBS Sports Radio. One other contractual situation that I find intriguing: Russell Wilson putting an April 15th deadline out there, but saying that, I'll probably still be at the offseason stuff. I'm just wondering, it seems like an odd ultimatum to issue if you're not leveraging any leverage that you have on the back end of it. What do you make of the Wilson situation?
Yeah, I guess I get his thought process here that, hey, let's set this deadline. We want to get it done. We don't want this thing lingering all summer. We all know Russell Wilson getting paid. I mean, I'd be shocked if he did. Every one of us would. But it's funny. Like, what does the deadline mean? Like, if the Seahawks come to him on April 16th with the largest contract in NFL history, he's going to say, nah, sorry, deadline fast.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and also Russell Wilson's, you know, his motivation in setting this deadline is so it doesn't linger on. Russell Wilson doesn't have a deadline, a contract signed during the season, do you think people are going to, like, not ask him about it? Like, really, Russell? You don't think that it's going to be a topic of discussion? I hate to tell you, but people are still going to ask if Russell Wilson's playing out the final year of his contract with the Seahawks. So, I don't know. I think it's probably a smart in some way just to set some kind of deadline so they can really focus in on it and get it done. Because at the end of the day, again, Russell Wilson's getting paid. It's just a matter of, you know, exactly how much he gets paid. And hey, he might end up being the highest paid player in NFL history by the time this thing is all said and done. And I wouldn't even blame Seattle. He's done that much for that franchise.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's, you know how that goes. It's like a wrestling belt that gets passed around. It's just the next guy up becomes the highest paid guy. So we'll see. Frank Schwab joining me on CBS Sports Radio. If you had to pick a training camp to go cover, which training camp would it be?
Oh, that's really interesting. I mean, there's just there are so many interesting teams, but I'll say this. I hope that Hard Knocks ends up on the Raiders. So I guess that's got to be my answer, right? Like the Raiders are – look, I mean, the Raiders were a total debacle last year, and everyone blamed Gruden. And it was fun to blame Gruden and make the jokes and pile on and everything. But I'm not willing to kind of pour dirt on John Gruden's – you know, John Gruden 2.0's grave yet. I think that – He came in, saw the roster, and said, wow, we got nothing here. We are not good. And he made some moves, and the Mac deal is never going to be good. There's never going to be – you're not taking that one back. Like, that was a bad deal. That was a bad trade. But everything else he did, what people are crying that they lost Michael Crabtree? They didn't have a lot of talent. So I think this Raiders team is, as it is now, with Antonio Brown, who is on Twitter today for some reason taking shots at Juju Smith-Schuster, which I don't get, and – with some more talent, and you get the Derek Carr thing, and goodness gracious, they go up and get Kyler Murray, which I don't think is going to happen. But if it does, I mean, this is becoming the most interesting team in the NFL. They might not be the best team. They might even be close to the best team in their own division, but it's the most interesting team, and I'm fascinated by the Raiders this year.
Yeah, so you mentioned Kyler Murray, and that's what made me think. Like, if they draft Kyler Murray, it's over. You go to the Raiders camp, and you sit there and watch that for 3 weeks. Absolutely. But what are your thoughts on the Murray situation at this point?
You know, either one of two things has to be on the table. I think we all know this by now. Either the Arizona Cardinals love this kid and they just think, hey, you know what? Josh Rosen's good. He could be a middle of the road, 15th best quarterback in the NFL type of guy. But we think Kyler Murray can be an MVP. And it's that, hey, if you think that way, if you believe that, if you have that conviction in Kyler Murray, draft him number one and figure out the rest later. Because the quarterback position is that important. And if you think you can get the next, you know, superstar Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson type of level quarterback, go and do that. I have no problem with it. That, and so that's number one. The number one scenario is the Arizona Cardinals love that guy, and they're going to take him number one. And number two is they've pulled off one of the most elaborate ruses I've ever seen. If they're just setting this up to trade to trade the Giants, who are going to give up the farm for Kyler Murray, the Raiders or the Dolphins or whoever's going to move up to number one, I will give the Cardinals so much credit because they have fooled everybody in the NFL. They have really hoodwinked everybody. So I think there's just too much smoke. I think the Cardinals take him number one. I don't think there's a trade coming. And then I think they're going to get lowballed on Josh Rosen and just kind of have to dump him. But, again, hey, if you think Kyler Murray's that good, go get him. And give Cliff Kingsbury the quarterback he wants and go all in on this thing and see where it takes you.
Where do you see – last question before I let you go, Frank. Where do you see Rosen – if that plays out that way, where do you see a reasonable place for Rosen to end up?
Sure, I think the Giants are one. I think the Redskins are one. I mean, they make a lot of sense because we don't know Alex Smith is ever going to play again. The one team I just keep thinking that at some point ownership is going to get involved is the Los Angeles Chargers. The Chargers are a very, very good football team, and nobody cares. Nobody. They are the most anonymous team in professional sports right now. And I wonder if the owners are going to eventually say, look, Phillip's getting up at our age. We need a successor anyway. We can get this kid who went to UCLA really cheap. Maybe that gets some local interest. Maybe that gets a buzz, and we figure out this quarterback situation sooner rather than later. So they're kind of the team that I just think makes the most sense. But, the Giants are going to be in there. Redskins, I think, have to be in there. But it's hard because, you know, Rosen's coming off a bad rookie year, and you have to have an honest evaluation and say, was that the Cardinals' scheme? Was it the coaching? Or did we kind of just overrate Josh Rosen coming in the last year's draft?
Good stuff. Frank Schwab, Yahoo Sports NFL writer. You can get him on Twitter at Yahoo Schwab, S-C-H-W-A-B. Frank Schwab, appreciate you joining me, Frank. And go enjoy the offseason and all the OTAs and whatnot coming up. And hope to do it again with you down the road, man.
Yep, no doubt.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.